She's lifting her voice to the Lord. Last Sunday, I began a short series called Christianity Checkup. And for those of you that weren't here, I preached from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And it was on the subject of how is your mind. Well, today I'm going to be preaching from Hebrews chapter 3. In a moment, we'll look at verses 7 through 15 of Hebrews 3. But the subject today in our Christianity checkup is how is your heart? According to the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, on average, every year, 610,000 people in America die from heart disease. One out of every four deaths in the United States is from heart disease. Where do you think the highest rate of heart disease is in the country? Wisconsin's up there, but it's in the South. And I think it's probably because Southerners deep fry or chicken fry everything we can get our hands on. We will fry chicken and we will chicken fry Twinkie. We'll do it. Right outside of my hometown of College Station, Texas, there is a place called Soda Lax Country Inn and Steakhouse. Notice on the sign, home of chicken fried bacon. And there's a picture of it in the top right. Let's take bacon, batter dip it, and chicken fry it, and serve it as an appetizer before you have that Texas-sized chicken fried steak with mashed potatoes and gravy. All right. And by the way, at Soda Lax, when you get a chicken fried steak, it covers the entire plate. And if you order French fries or mashed potatoes with it, it comes on a second plate on the side because there's no room on the plate that your steak is served on. All right. So now you're hungry, huh? All right. So when the arteries in your body and in your heart become clogged from the pounds of bacon and the piles of Wisconsin brats and cheese that you consume, the old medical term for this is called, anybody know? Atherosclerosis. Atherosclerosis. Literally, that's from the Greek, and literally it means the hardening of the arteries. The word sclerosis, or hardening, like hardening of the arteries, the word sclerosis is from the Greek word that is used in Hebrews chapter 3. And so in a moment, when we read our text, when you see the word harden, it's the Greek word sclerosis. And think of it just as the fat and the grease will cause your arteries to clog and harden your heart. We're talking about a spiritual hardening of the heart. So let's begin reading our text here in Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden, sclerosis, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoke me. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would move the sclerosis, the hardening of our hearts from us. And Lord, that you would give us ears to hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Spirit of God gives us a warning in verse 8. Do not harden your hearts. The heart that the scripture is referring to, of course, is not the physical muscle inside your chest that moves the blood throughout your body. This is not a medical warning. This is a spiritual warning. The heart that's mentioned several times in these verses refers to that spiritual part within you that hears and responds and relates to God. Let's look at what your spiritual heart is. Your spiritual heart is the organ God created in you for having fellowship with himself. It is the ear that hears the voice of God. It is the eye that sees him and the unseen world. Your spiritual heart is the part of you that makes you alive and keeps you alive to God. Through it, the Spirit of God pumps the faith and the grace that you need to live. Today's text gives us a sobering challenge that if something should be wrong in your spiritual heart, the result for your life would be just as disastrous or even more so than if something was wrong with your physical heart. We use the phrase in our American English, "I'm as serious as a heart attack." Well, the writer of Hebrews is saying this is even more serious. In fact, what he is calling us to do is to undergo a bibliocardiogram. In other words, he wants us to get a biblical view of what's going on in our hearts. So let's take this passage, take the Word of God, and hook our spiritual hearts up to it and see how we're doing in accord with this spiritual heart monitor. Ultimately, it's the great physician, Jesus Christ, is the only one that can bring healing to our spiritual hearts. And he is also the only one who can keep our hearts tender and keep us from having a hardened heart. So, when we look at the medicine that we find here in the Word of God, the first thing we find is that we should consider an example. Think about it when you go to the doctor these days. Besides having to fill out 490 pages worth of insurance information, you get a lot of questions, don't you, about your medical history. And then after you're done with your own medical history, they start asking you about the medical history of your family, don't you? Well, why do they do that? Because they understand that some of the things that are going on with you right now might be a genetic thing passed down. You know, because I had an uncle that was diagnosed with colon cancer. That meant when I was 35, rather than when I was 50, that I started undergoing those wonderful, joyous colonoscopies every few years. I got to start 15 years early because of family history. Well, what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, look back in your spiritual family. And he goes back to Israel. our spiritual forefathers in the faith, our spiritual ancestors. And he says, they had some problems. So consider their example. And the problems that they had back then are common with people of faith descended from them even today. So we have here, beginning in verse 7 of Hebrews 3, we get this direct quote from the 95th Psalm. We get this spiritual cardiology report on ancient Israel. And he's talking about the time when they were journeying in the wilderness. They had come miraculously out of Egypt, led by Moses. They had come across the Red Sea. They had come in the desert. They had come to Kadesh Barnea. There they were given the choice to believe God and conquer the land or not believe him. They chose not to believe. And because of that, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And this is about this wilderness wandering time. And what he is doing as a writer is, by the Holy Spirit, he is saying is that their example serves to us as a warning about the kind of thing that we want to avoid in our own hearts. And do you see what it is? It's a hard heart that provokes the judgment of God upon ourselves. So here are God's people, miraculously delivered. In the process, what has God done for them? He has destroyed their enemies. He's parted seas. He's given them bread and meat from heaven. He even kept their clothes and shoes from wearing out. I need God to do that with my children. They run their shoes out so fast, right? They have received everything that they needed, miraculously provided to them by God. But what happened? Were they grateful to God for that? Were they living in dependence of God, thanking Him for the grace that they were witnessing every day of their lives? Nope. What'd they do? They started grumbling and griping and rebelling against God and Moses. And it's that sinful, hardened heart that's recorded in Psalm 95 and then in Hebrews 3. Look at it again in verses 7 through 9. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. These were folks, in spite of all that they had seen, they said, "Hey, Moses, we really miss being slaves in Egypt. Can we go back there? We liked the food that was there better. We had a little more variety." You know, and this living out here in the desert every day, it stinks. We're tired of it. What they were saying was, they were saying, "God, your blessing's not good enough for me. In fact, I want to go back and live the way in slavery I used to live. I don't like the freedom that you bought for me." So, how did God react? Pretty predictable, isn't it? Notice what God said in verse 10. "Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray." And do you see it? Where do they go astray? In their heart. "And they did not know my ways." Because they went astray in their heart, they did not know. They did not have a comprehension. They did not have an understanding. They didn't have a personal relationship with God and His ways. Now the question is, can this happen to you and me? Yes. Can you follow Jesus for a while only to find your heart turning back to the very things that He saved you from? Sure you can. That's why we're given this example in Hebrews 3. God is saying, listen, it happened to them, Be warned, it can happen to you and may be happening to some of you right now. Now notice what God goes on to say in verse 11 about those hard-hearted, rebellious folks in the wilderness of long ago. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And that's true. You remember what happened to those folks? They didn't believe. And did they get to go into the promised land and enjoy the blessings and promises that God had given them? No. They died in the wilderness. You can skip ahead or skip down to verse 17 where it makes clear that their corpses fell in the desert. They didn't get to enjoy the milk and honey of the land of Canaan. These folks died out in the desert and were buried in the sand. If you're paying attention to this text, at this point, your eyes ought to widen a little bit at what is being said here. The hard condition of that generation that rebelled against God kept them from receiving the promises of God. It's like the Spirit of God, like a wise and honest doctor, holds up a case study to these folks and says, hey, listen, if your heart is like their hearts, you're going to die like they die. You're going to die without receiving all the promises of the gospel. Now, I know some of you may be getting a little nervous in your theology right now and more concerned about the pastor's theology. And some of you may be going, now, pastor, are you saying that I might lose my salvation? Are you saying that you don't believe in once saved, always saved? Not at all. The issue here is not about losing your salvation. It's about two things. It's about, number one, do you have salvation to begin with? But second, if you do have salvation to begin with, do you realize that the promised land in the Old Testament and in the book of Hebrews does not represent heaven? The rest is not heaven. The rest and the promised land spoken of is a picture of the abundant, joyful life that we live here. It's living the life that God intended for you to live. And if you have a hardened heart, you're missing out on all that. Their example reminds us that we need to be careful not to think our heart's fine when in reality it might have grown hard. I remember the commercials that were on advertising the anti-cholesterol medications not too long ago. And it'd show a healthy person and he's like out jogging and he looks like he's in the peak of health. And then they would superimpose on the screen his cholesterol number and it'd be like 400-something thousand. You know, would be his cholesterol total, you know, and he look, and what they were implying was you need this medication to get your heart healthy. The point of that commercial was you can't tell how healthy someone's heart is simply by looking at the outside. You know what? Same is true for you and me, spiritually. I can't look at you, you can't look at me on the outside and really see how spiritually healthy the heart on the inside is. Only God can do that, and you can only do it for yourself. So consider the example. But also, we should conduct an examination, right? So if I and God are the only ones that can see inside my heart, then I need to conduct an examination. I don't want to die like the children of Israel died out in the desert, missing out on God's promise. And so, the writer here in Hebrews 3 is also assuming that you don't want to either. And that's why he begins verse 12 with these two words. Take care. One translation I read translates that as, watch out. It's pretty good. The call for us is examine your heart. Make sure you're not like those ancient Israelites. So now that brings us to the next question. What's involved in this bibliocardiogram? What's involved in this spiritual heart examination? Continue on in verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Mark that phrase, evil, unbelieving heart. Underline it. What you're looking for as you shine the light of God's word into your own heart is a heart that is still evil. And how do you know the evil? It's evil if it does not believe in God. It's evil if it does not believe that God will do all he says he will do. It's evil if you do not believe that God will keep all the promises he has given to us. It's evil if we believe that God will not provide for our needs. Now immediately, somebody's going to go in their heart and go, now, okay, I remember years ago when I believed on Jesus, I asked him into my heart, and I'm sure that I'm fine. That's great. But do you realize spiritually, that's akin to a 60-year-old man saying, you know what? I had a cardiac stress test when I was 30, and so I'm good. Well, a lot can change between age 30 and 60, can't it? A whole lot can change. Same thing spiritually. That's like you coming to me and saying, Pastor, how's your heart doing with the Lord? And I'll say, man, it's great, because on December 30th, 1973, I gave my life to Jesus. So I'm good. Well, that was great on December 30th, 1973. But a little bit of water has passed under the bridge since then. Don't miss the word that's repeated throughout this text. Today. Do you see it? Today, examine your heart. Right now, this Sunday, August 23rd, 2015, examine your heart. Look inside and ask yourself, God, has my heart grown hard? God, is there somewhere where I'm rebelling against Jesus? Is there somewhere I'm running from you and saying, I'm going to do it my way, not your way? Why do we have to do that current examination? Why is it so important to keep up to date on checking your heart? You see it at the end of verse 12? It's because if your heart grows hard, you know what's going to happen to you? The word says you're going to fall away from the living God. The danger is if your heart's not resting and relying on Jesus, you will somewhere, someday, at some time, you're going to walk away from him and you're going to follow something else. It's going to happen if your heart's been hardened. We've all seen it, haven't we? Someone claims to have believed the gospel, but in time, their hardened heart pulls them away to something else. They once professed faith in Jesus. Now Jesus is the last person they want to follow. Now these folks may not publicly renounce their faith in Jesus, but you can see clearly that what they love and what holds their allegiance is definitely not Jesus. It's the sin and the self that they serve day after day. And when you look at these folks, you look at them, you go, you know what? These are not disciples of Jesus. They're deserters of Jesus. When you see it, you can see them. You go, you know what? They look more like a traitor Christian than a true Christian. All right. So we do the examination. What's next? What's next? This is true whether you find that your heart's hardened or you find that your heart's doing okay. What do? You continue to exercise. You continue to exercise. You know that the American Heart Association says that the average American ought to get 150 minutes per week of moderate exercise. I hope preaching counts, okay? All right. Is there anything, though, that we can do for our spiritual hearts? Is there anything we can do for them? What can we do if we've repented from a hardened heart to keep it from getting hard again? Well, what can we do to keep it from getting hardened in the first place? Well, the writer here points us to verse 13, what we're to do. He says, encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today. Let's say I decide that I'm going to walk 5 miles every day. And so for the first week, I'm really good. I've got the self-discipline. I'm really good. And I'm out there every morning feeding the mosquitoes before daylight, trudging along for 5 miles. And I get it done the first day and the second day. And I get a week under me. And then the next week, the weather's not real nice. And then fall comes, and I'm kind of start becoming hit or miss. Well, you know, it's raining today. And then it starts getting below zero. Now, I really don't want to do that. And frankly, the treadmill thing's kind of boring. So, you know, I really don't want to do that. And so what's probably going to happen to me? I'm going to fall off, right? But if I got a whole big group that I'm walking with, and let's say it's early in the morning, I'm going to do it, and it's one of my neighbors, and my neighbor comes knocking on my door saying, let's go. Then I'm going, you know, I really don't feel like that. My neighbor's going, come on. I don't want to walk alone. Come on. And it's going to encourage me. And then maybe the next week, my neighbor, he's not feeling like he wants to go. And I'm going, come on, come on. You get what's being said here? Look again at verse 13. But encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today. You need spiritual workout buddies, right? That's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get us to see. Now, who are our spiritual workout buddies? Our brothers and sisters in the church. As you maintain regular and healthy interaction with your brothers and sisters in the church, people who are working on the same things you are working on, you'll be encouraged to continue in the disciplines of the Lord. This shoots down the idea of the isolated, individual, lone wolf Christian. Pastor, I can worship the Lord on my boat in the lake while I'm fishing. I've been told that so many times. And I learned from a pastor friend of mine how to respond to that. pastor friend of mine, he says, "That's great, I can too. So what songs did you sing while you were fishing this morning?" And while they're still stammering, what passage of scripture did you meditate on and study? And then the stammering. And point is, people that say that, Christians that say that, they don't do what they say they're claiming to do. Verse 14 is the key in this passage. Look at it carefully. "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." The idea is, finish your race with the same kind of faith that you began your race with. Continue all the way. How do you keep your heart from becoming hardened? How do you keep your heart soft and tender, spiritual, where you're hearing? Continue in the encouragement with other believers with the same disciplines that you began. It's ongoing obedience to the gospel. It's ongoing obedience to the command, as Matt was talking about, to share the gospel. Ongoing obedience in listening to Jesus and following and just looking to Him and living for Him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, I'm ending the message today. In Matthew 7, 14, Jesus describes salvation as a gate that you go through, but He didn't stop there. He also called it a way. The picture is, you don't just step through the gate at the moment of salvation. It is an ongoing way, a journey, a path that you continue on. Brothers and sisters, you need Jesus today no less than you needed Him the day that you first found Him. So we come to the end of the message on our Christianity checkup and the question, how is your heart? And what do? Today, if you hear His voice, is His voice speaking with you? Then respond. Let's pray. Father, we ask now as we move to a time of invitation, Lord, that when we hear Your voice, that today would be the day in which we respond. Bless decisions that need to be made. Father, we recognize that many of us have hearts that are not as tender as they used to be. And Lord, help us begin that journey back.
Good trading.
Who all are visitors here today? Can I just see your hands? Who are visiting us, our guests? Oh, there's some. Welcome, and we're so glad that you could be here for Jolene's dedication. It's just a blessing to have you here with us. And our song today is about when we all get to heaven, our benediction. So, you know, praise God, we're all going to be together in the end all the time, and that'll be wonderful.
Mansions bright and blessed, he may bear.